Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
Morning, everyone. How on earth do you follow Mary McKittrick? Seriously, Mary? I mean, Mary was supposed to share the other week, and then I think Andrew forgot or something happened. So I think he did it on purpose, because how do you follow Mary? Mary, you're fantastic. We love you. I'm going to talk this morning on fellowship and just God's heart for his family. And this is, it's really probably Andrew and I trying to explain our heart for this church and for you guys. And basically, I think it just, like Andrew was talking last week, it all boils down to relationship, doesn't it? You know, this whole thing, it's all to do with relationship. And I think so much we can think of churches as institutions and buildings and organizations and all those things. And just our heart is really that you guys grasp that this is a family, and that's what we want this to be. From the very outset, we want this place to be a family for you guys, and we see it as a family. And just if we think at the beginning of how it all started, of how the whole universe, it all came together, it came out of a relationship. It came out of the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was three people, but one in this amazing unity that we are trying to grasp and trying to really work out. But that's the way we've been created in God's image. He's created us to be in relationship, not just with himself and his Son, but to be in relationship with each other. And I think that's one of the things that the church over this last wee while has probably been losing. They've been losing sight of the fact that we've been created in relationship together. And it's not just about this relationship. We're all just trying to find out about the love of God, but it's about his love flowing through us towards each other. And I just think that for so many people, life isn't working because they're going against what they've been created for. Do you know what this, like, if we look out in the world values achievement and performance. The world is all to do with success and what you can do with your hands, what you can make, what you can create. And it's all sort of these sort of tangible things. And yet, that's not what we were made for. If we're going after that, if we're going after these goals of career and, do you know what I mean? It's not that those things are bad, but if that's at the very essence of what we're living for, we've missed the point. Because at the end of the day, all those things will pass. The fancy cars, the houses, the jobs, the positions, the titles, all of those things will go. The only thing that was going to exist for eternity is the relationships, the relationship that we have with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the relationships that we have together. That's what's going to last. That's what we're living for. Isn't that right? And that's what we've been made for. We've been made in God's image. And it tells us that God is love. And we're made in his image. We are made to love. We're made to love each other. And you know what? It's just so often I think we're going through life trying to do something that we weren't created for. And we're getting frustrated. Just wanted to tell you about Ben. Ben's got lots of toys. Ben's biggest frustration is he's always trying to get his toys to do something they weren't designed to do. So like his train tracks. Ben has this like wooden train track and it can go like two or three different combinations. But that's not good enough for Ben because Ben wants his train track to be able to go downstairs. And he spent probably about 2 months with his wooden train track trying to like prop it up with all his books, trying to get the things to go right so they could get it to go from the top to the bottom of the stairs. And then he just he wants to throw it in the bin. He wants to break it because it doesn't work. And I'm like, but Ben, it does work. It's like, but it won't go downstairs. It's like, but it's not designed to go down the stairs, Ben. But he couldn't accept this. So he just got frustrated and he just wants to give up with it all. And oh, I don't care. I don't even like trains anymore. But it's just like, I think how many of us are like that in life? We think things don't work, but it's actually because we're just doing it the wrong way. We're not living the way God's designed us to live. We're ready to give up on life. Maybe we're ready to give up on church. But it's because our approach has been wrong. We've been looking for something out of it that it wasn't designed to do. If you're in church and you're looking because it's about your ministry and your calling and what you want to do in it, then you're in it for the wrong reason because ultimately you're in it as a family and you're here to love and all those other things are going to flow out of it. But you're here to be part of a family and a part of a community. So let's live. I just want to encourage this morning. Let's live out of the way that God's designed you because it's all going to make sense. If you just look at God's relationship with Jesus, it's just like there's such an assurance of the love that they have for each other. In John 17:24, this is what Jesus says. It says, "You loved me before the foundation of the world." That's his assurance of the Father's love. You loved me before the foundation of the world, before any of this stuff started. Jesus knew, you loved me. When we hear the Father speaking to the Son, It's of words of love and approval. If you look in Matthew 3:17, he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The words that the Father and the Son speak to each other with, just words of love, words of affirmation, words of acceptance, words of approval. And we can't deny, we can't be mistaken in any way about the way the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, how that works and how they love each other. But I want to encourage you this morning, that incredible love, that commitment, that honoring, the witness that we see in the words that they speak about each other, that's what the Father and the Son long for each one of us to have together. Isn't that amazing? They want our kingdom, their kingdom on earth, to be like that, to be that family. And if you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to John 17, I think it starts at verse 20. Probably a lot of you know these verses. You've read them a number of times, but I just want to go through them with you. I love the way everyone's on their iPhones looking at the Bible. They're fantastic. Says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." And I've been thinking about these words over the last few weeks. And do you know what? It's just totally blown me away. Because I've heard those verses before, but just something really struck me. Jesus didn't say, "I want them to experience a tiny, tiny glimpse or a mere glance of that love that we share." He actually said, just read it again, "I want all of them to be one with each other, just as I am one with you. And you are one with me." And do you know what really struck me? I just thought, we have no idea of the incredible capacity to love that has been placed on the inside of us. Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And that is just a tremendous, it's just huge. I don't think we can even get our heads around the capacity that we have to show love and to be loved by each other. You know, I just think that, you know, Jesus' heart there is that we would just begin to see the true potential that he's put inside of us. And I wanted to explain this by showing you my iPhone here. This was Andrew's iPhone. And I get his wee cast off so that he got the new, what is it, the 4, iPhone 4. So this is an iPhone 3. And this is totally, totally wasted on me. Like, if anybody knows, David Goodwin, bless him, knows my technical capabilities recently. And I can do emails and I can text. And I can almost put a picture on Facebook. Almost. My son can put a picture on Facebook. And if you keep seeing random pictures on my profile page, that's because Ben is running around annoying Eve and taking pictures, and then I'm putting it on Facebook. But there's so much potential in these things. Like, they can do amazing things, and yet I use them to text and send emails and phone calls. There's so much unlocked potential in here. But I just think if that in any way illustrates, there is so much potential to love on the inside of us. And probably most of us are texting and emailing. Do you know what I mean? There's just so much more. And I always think that sometimes our approach towards fellowship and living with each other has been reduced to something that we think we ought to do. It's like, oh, yeah, we're supposed to love each other, aren't we? And it's kind of like, it seems sometimes more like an obligation than this like incredible privilege, this amazing opportunity, this life that's going to bring so much blessing. And I think whenever we read verses like in John 13:34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another." And sometimes we can just think, oh, command, here we go. That's something we've got to do. But when Jesus commands us to do something, it's because he wants the very, very, very best for us. It's because he wants to bring us the best in life. It's because he knows that this will help us to flourish, to grow, and to be everything he's created us for. It's not because he wants to make our lives miserable or hard. It's because this is the best thing in life. So when he says, love one another, it's because there's nothing better that you can do than do it. So I want to have a look at fellowship and what the word says about fellowship. In the early church, in Acts 2, verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Or in the message, it says they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. And really, life together, that's the heart of it. That's what we're talking about here. Because the word fellowship, it's a Greek word. Here we go. This is my only Greek word. Woohoo! Probably wouldn't even say it right. It's koinonia. Is that right? Yep. Even heard Heather Young was saying it just naturally the other day in conversation. I was thinking, oh, that's in my talk. But it means communion, fellowship, sharing, participation. But the heart of the word is common. And it's the fact that you have something in common with the people around you. Because the brothers and sisters in Christ, we have something much more in common than somebody you go to the gym with, than somebody who you're in school with, or somebody you work with, or some team that you're in. Nothing can ever compare to the bond that you have with other believers. Nothing can compare with what unites you, because it's the life of Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that unites you to your brother or sister who has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. In 1 John 1:3, it says, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's about having a life that is centered around Jesus. That's what unites each one of us today here who knows Jesus. That's what brings us together. You have a bond beyond anything with the people in this room that you'll ever have with anybody outside who doesn't know Jesus. Isn't that right? It's incredible. And sometimes you can look around people and sometimes you can think, well, I don't know about this. You know, like, you know, I kind of get on with the girl that I work with because we've got more in common. You are missing the point. You haven't seen that person in the way that God wants you to see them. It says in 1 John 14:12, and I want you to look this verse up, because I've started to realize that I am not really going to experience the depth of the Father's love and the life that he has for me unless I live in relationship with the people around me. And it says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. I want to say that again. It says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. How many of us want to know the love of God complete in our lives? Isn't it all of us? Amen. Hand up at the back. Whoa. That's right. All of us want to know the completeness of the love of God. But how are we going to find that? If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. I think too many of us have, you know, concentrated on this relationship with the Father. It's just all about this. But that's not how it works. It's his love is flowing through us, but it's flowing through us through the people around us. And if we're only looking up, we're missing out on the way God wanted us to receive his love. And you know what? We've all been designed to belong. We've been designed for a family. No, none of us would want to see like kids on the street just wandering around on their own, would we? We'd be thinking, what are you doing? Where are you? Where's your mom? Where's your dad? That would be abnormal. That wouldn't be right. We would know inside that that's wrong. That's not the way it's been designed. Kids don't just look after themselves. And yet somehow as Christians, sometimes we've thought that that's okay. It's okay to just be a Christian on my own. I don't need to have anyone else, but that's not the way you've been designed. You have been designed for family. But you know what? That will require an investment from you. It will require you choosing to place yourself among God's people. It will require you making that a priority in the way you live your life, in the way you give your time, in the way you prioritize your week. And I was thinking about for Andrew and I and how we've lived our lives. And really, I was thinking fellowship and choosing to be in God's family, it's affected jobs that we've chosen. You know, Andrew made a decision not to be in a job where he would be away most of the time because, one, for his own personal family, but two, because he couldn't be part of a church family. It wouldn't work. He wouldn't be around. We've realized it's affected hobbies we've pursued. You know, Andrew loves golf, as we all know, but he probably hasn't played golf in about 2 or 3 years now. But it's just, it got to the place where he just realized, you know what, there's other things that I want to invest my life in, and I could, you know, go through life trying to get a whatever 9 handicap or whatever is good. I don't know. But it's just like, what is that really going to do at the end of the day? It's great. It's not knocking playing golf. But for us, we just knew we had choices to make with our time, and it was limited. But it's even determined where we've lived. Do you know what? We have chosen to place ourselves where we can fellowship with others, I haven't chosen to be somewhere where we, you know, we would be a far away, but we've chosen to be close to where we can have friends and where we can be in relationship, where we can do life together. Because it will affect how we get on in life if we live somewhere or just away from where we can really connect and be part of a family. So what does fellowship look like? How does it really work, truthfully? It's all centered around love. But that love flows from a father. And it should naturally flow through us as a byproduct of our relationship with God. If we look in 1 John 4, 7 to 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And Kenneth West, he's got an expanded translation from Greek, and he says, "Divinely loved ones, let us be habitually loving one another with a divine and self-sacrificial love, because this aforementioned love is out of God as a source. And everyone who is in this manner habitually loving out of God has been born with this present reality that he is regenerated and knows God in an experiential way. The one who is not habitually loving in this manner has not come to know God, because God, as to his nature, is love." And you know what? The more we understand God's love, the more our desire will to be around people of God. That's going to grow. The more and more you know the love of God in your heart, the more you're going to want to be around people who can encourage you in that. And if you think, well, the people I've experienced don't reflect much of God's love, you've got a bit of an attitude, then maybe they're thinking the same about you. You know, it's easy for us to look at everybody else and the things that irritate us and not see them the way God sees them. And I was just thinking this morning about the way that we see things on the outside, okay? And I wanted to just show you. I often have a Tesco's bag in my handbag. It often has something random in it, okay? Sometimes it's got Hope's bottles in it because I've been rushing out and I've forgotten the changing bag and I think I'll stick them in a Tesco's bag, then they won't leak, make my bag a mess, okay? Sometimes it's got a dirty nappy in it. Hate to admit this, but you've been out somewhere and you haven't quite got to the bin and it's like, oh, well, I'll stick it in the bin at home, and there's a dirty nappy sitting in my handbag, and John's totally grossed out there. He's like, he just looked shocked. And then sometimes, after a Sunday morning, sometimes I've been given the offering in a Tesco's bag. Could you give that to Marilyn? Marilyn's not here this morning. So a Tesco's bag looks the same on the outside, but it can have very different things in it. And if I go to my handbag and think that's Hope's dirty nappy, oh, flip, that was the offering. Andrew's not going to be too happy with me. Haven't done that, just let me say that. But do you know what I mean? But it just made me think I'll look at this Tesco's bag one day and think, I want to get rid of this. And another day I'll think, I must give that to Marilyn. But how do we look at each other? Because do we look at each other and think, you have the Holy Spirit in you? Jesus died for you. He paid everything for you. Is that how we look at each other? Or do we look at each other and think, they're flipping so annoying? I do my head in. Realistically, because the way we can look at each other, are we looking on the inside or are we looking at the outside? Just being honest, I never say that, but I've heard Andrew say things like that. Lee joking. But it says in Ephesians 4:25 that we are all parts of one body and members of one another. We belong together. We belong to each other. And it's so, so important to God, the way that we treat each other, because in his eyes, every single one of us are of incredible value. Every single one of us Jesus died for. So what does fellowship look like? How do we live this life together? I think one of our biggest problems with relationships is, how do we deal with each other? How do we get on with each other? How do we deal with offense? How do we deal with fallouts? How do we deal with disappointments, with hurts, with rejections? We can keep going on and on, can't we? Because the list is endless and we've all experienced all of those things. But the word says, accept one another, wait for it, just as Christ accepted you. Isn't that right? Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Because how did Christ accept us? Was it because we were nice? Was it because we deserved it? Was it because of all the things that we'd done for him? Or was it because of who he was? And I was just starting to realize our attitude towards our brothers and sisters should be one of acceptance because of whose we are. We don't love other people because of what they've done. we love other people because we belong to Jesus and they belong to Jesus. It's because of who they are. Can you look at all the things that annoy you and you can, you know, use those as reasons for maybe why you don't want to get into a relationship with those people. But God says in his word in Colossians 3:13, even as and in the degree that the Lord forgave you, in the same manner also you forgive. It's the same thing again. It's the just as you've been accepted, accept other people. And if we're struggling to love, we need to bring back all those verses that Andrew gave us last week, because it says, be devoted to one another in Romans 12:10. It says, honor one another above yourselves. It says, live in harmony with one another in Romans 12:16. And it says, be patient with one another in Ephesians 4:2. So the way that we treat each other is with the same love that the Father treats, shows towards us. And I think when we understand grace, the more we understand grace, the more we'll walk in love with each other. But that's what he's calling us to. And I was thinking, you know, how many of us, even with the healing series, we were talking about, let's not live at our experience. Let's lift our eyes up to the word and wait till our experience reach, you know, that's what we're wanting our experience to reach to. And it's the same in everything. It's the same in relationships with each other. Let's not just think, oh, that's just the word, but that doesn't really work in real life. Let's think, okay, that's what we're called to. This might be what I'm experiencing, but I'm going to believe for this. I'm going to believe that I have got that capacity to love. I'm going to believe that I can have relationships that are going to look like the kind of relationship Jesus wants. But fellowship is going to result in an investment of your time and your energy and your money. If you look into Acts 2:42, this is what the early church started like. It says, now for all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, this isn't something they thought, oh, flip, is that prayer meeting tonight? Nightmare. They didn't think, oh, is it life group this week? Do you know what I mean? This was something, they had a unity and a bond with each other because they knew the love of God between each other. But that was something that they chose to do. They put themselves in the way each day to meet together. They put themselves away to go to the temple to share what they had, to listen to each other, to find out that people even were in need. It was a relationship that they chose to invest in. And I just want to encourage you that fellowship isn't going to truly be fulfilled in this place here on a Sunday morning. You will receive encouragement. You know, we want you to come here and be encouraged, to be loved. But there's levels of relationship that you're going to miss out on. You're not going to be able to journey through life with your brothers and sisters if it's only about being here for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. That's not the way God designed it to be. But that's what, for some of us and for a lot of the church, people have reduced it to. But this is what Paul was encouraging people to in his epistles. He said, care for one another. He said, serve one another. Comfort one another. Show hospitality to one another. It says in Acts 4:32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And that is a challenge, isn't it? But that's what we do in our family. If you think of your family, you wouldn't be sitting having your tea and then your son or your daughter is like, oh, I'm really hungry. And you go, well, sorry, this is mine. Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine like having your dinner and just sitting and getting your own and then saying, well, go and look what's in the cupboard, or you better get to the shops. Do you know what I mean? It's just totally unreal. That's how we know that we get on in family. As parents, we know how to live and look after our kids, but church is family. It's not about a meeting once a week. It's about every day. And these meetings, they serve to bring people together, to worship, to be encouraged in the word. But for Andrew and my, our heart is that people find family here. And that's what we happen when we invest our time with people here, when we invest our money with people here, when we encourage each other. That's what it's about. Let's not reduce this to like an hour and a half and tick the box and get out of here. Because there's so much more. We're just missing out. Think of the potential. And I want to tell you as well, fellowship is about feeding each other in a spiritual sense. All right. A big part of family life, as I just alluded to, is around mealtimes. If anyone knows Ben Too Good, like all the time would be a meal time for Ben. You know, it's a constant question. Maybe it's just a boy thing. What are we having for breakfast? What are we having for dinner? What are we having for tea? What are we having for supper? Da, 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 da. You just like this walking menu, trying to think of different things. And then, you know, it's, but as parents, we know about what good choices of food are, what bad choices of food are. And in general, we're trying to help make our kids make good choices. But I've been thinking this week about spiritual food and about the fact that we are supposed to feed on the word of God, about this power in our words. And about in John 6:63, it says, Jesus says, these words that I speak to you are spirit and life. I've just been given the 5 minutes. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I was just thinking, you know what? It's so important, the words that we speak to each other. Do you know, we have this amazing opportunity to feed each other and to edify each other. And I think some of us think, you know, it's all about feeding myself with the word of God. And that is absolutely true, but it's about feeding each other. If we're in family, we feed each other. And God's calling us to do that. I want you just to look up this verse because it's a brilliant one. It's in Ephesians 4:29. And this is the incredible opportunity that you have with the words that you speak. It says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace and God's favor to those who hear it. Isn't that incredible? You have the opportunity to speak God's grace and God's favor into people's lives. You have the opportunity to build them up. If you think about the kind of world that we're living in, where it's negative, where it's everything's bad, everything's wrong, everything's a mess. I mean, I spent a week at Easter over at my mum and dad's, and they love the news. Like, they've got to watch the news and got to watch the weather lady. I normally come back and Ben's obsessed with the weather then for the next 5 days, and because mum has to watch it like 3 times a day to see what's happening, and then it's always wrong. But if you just think about it, after even a week of being in that, like, mum and dad will be like, oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Oh, it's dreadful what's happening. Oh, my goodness, I don't know. And it's just that thing of like, oh, you could get so down if that was your reality. But for everybody else around us, that is. And yet we have the opportunity to speak the truth. And we have the opportunity to encourage each other. Look at these verses. It says, Hebrews 13:3, encourage one another. Romans 14:19, build up one another. And in Colossians 3:16, the word of Christ, let it be continually at home in you in abundance with every wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other. Just about to say that. And then in Ephesians 5:19, it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. That'd be a good one for Aaron. You can just sing to everybody. He does. But that's what we're called to. And I think so many times we can just pass the time with people, can't we? We can just, how's your week? And it's not about just like every time I say, yell, I feel the Lord is saying, blah, 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 you know. It's not about being super intense and not saying, did you have a good day or whatever. But at the same time, if your conversation with your brothers and sisters isn't any different from your conversation with those you're in work with or at school with or whatever, then you're totally missing out. Because every time you meet a brother or sister, you have got the opportunity to say something positive into their lives. Because let's face it, probably people in the world aren't going to, because they're always seeing the negative. But you've got the opportunity to say, I think that is amazing about you. I believe that God has put this in you and all of those amazing things. But again, how much time are you investing into being around people who can do that? And I suppose for us, we're thinking, are you going to go to a life group? Will you come and be part of life groups? Will you come to Collide where people get the chance to share and talk about what God is doing in them and to encourage each other? That's the point of it all for us. It's not just here. It's about connecting and giving you, investing into people around you. So what's the point of it all? Just to wrap up in my last 3 minutes. We've been created for relationship. We've been created to love each other. Just as Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are in relationship with each other. That's what he desires for us. But more than anything, this is our witness to the world. In John 13, it says, In John 17, it says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. This is our witness. This is how people see that we're any different. John 13, 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's how we witness to the world. It's about what goes on in here. It's about this relationship together. That's what's going to make the difference in the world. And the world is crying out, like Andrew was talking about loneliness last week. The world's crying out for love and accepted. Every single person in this world has been created to belong to a family. And most people are living in loneliness. But the family, this family here is what is going to attract the lost. And I was thinking sometimes we focus on what are we doing to bring in the lost? I'm trying to look for my last page. Don't worry, Andrew, it's got not very much in it. What are we doing? You know, what programs are we doing? How are we going to get people in? How are we going to get people saved? And we can focus on all the outward. But really, for us, the heart is, this is what we've got to get right first. Because say if we did all these programs and we go in and we're like painting people's fences and cutting their hedges and doing their grass and all those kind of things. And they think, oh, these are really nice people. And then they come in here on a Sunday morning and it's like a scene from EastEnders. And Jill's like, I flippin' hate you, woman. And look, there she is through the door. And I'm like, oh my goodness, have you seen the state of so-and-so's hair? And da-da-da-da. And, you know, like, they'd just be out again. They'd be thinking, what's the point? I'll just sit and watch it at home. Do you know what I mean? Thanks, Aaron. I'd never say that about your hair. But that is the reality. Unless we've got true love here, unless we can truly model this out, you know, whatever we try and do out there is pointless. We've got to get it right here. And I think for Andrew and I, this season has been about laying foundations. It's like we've got to get it right first. We have to be a family. We have to love each other. Not have to, but this is what we're created for. Let's be excited about this. Let's see people connected, experiencing the love of God, encouraging, sharing each other, investing their lives into each other, helping each other. That's when it's going to work. And that's when people will say, can I come to your church? Isn't that right? Isn't it exciting? So this should be a good place to everybody sign up for life group afterwards. We'll see you all in a week in Bits time. But do you know what? This is what we want, guys. Don't just come on Sunday morning. Come and be part of this. Amen.